Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production from iHeartRadio. Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with iHeart Podcasts. And how the tech are you? So, as 2023 winds down, we're looking back on some of the big tech stories that happened this year. I've mentioned this one a few times, but I figured it would be better to do a full look back on Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard, which actually obviously stretches back more than a year. It was never a guaranteed deal, and there was a significant amount of opposition to it all around the world. So today, we're going to look at how the story began and how it unfolded, as well as we'll speculate a little bit about the future now that the two companies have put ink to paper. Now let's start off with background on Activision Blizzard. The company traces its history to the earliest days of home video game markets. Activision launched out of Atari when a group of folks decided that it might be nice to receive credit and royalties for their work, rather than all that sweet cash and credit going to the company itself. So Activision made some real bangers like Pitfall, which if you're old like I am, you might remember fondly. Compared to more recent games, of course, it's primitive. But trust me, at the time, Pitfall was amazing. Skip ahead to 1991, and a guy named Bobby Kotick would, along with some financial partners, buy a significant amount of stock in Activision. He would later become the CEO of the company. That same year, the company that would become Blizzard would form. The original name for Blizzard was Silicon and Synapse when it was launched in 91, but it took the name Blizzard in 94. And Blizzard also published some real bangers in video and computer games. It's the company behind Warcraft, which was a huge hit in the real-time strategy community. They produced Diablo, which was a huge hit among the how many times can I click my mouse button in a row community. And it launched World of Warcraft, the I will never see the light of day again community, among many others. By the 2000s, Activision was creating or publishing genre-defining franchises like Call of Duty and Guitar Hero. Blizzard's game StarCraft would become a cornerstone of esports. Blizzard also changed hands multiple times in the early 2000s, ending up with a company called Vivendi Games out of France. Activision merged with Vivendi in 2008, and the new company was called Activision Blizzard, and Bobby Kotick became CEO of this newly merged company. Activision Blizzard continued to develop and publish successful games and franchises. It became one of the largest video game companies in the world. Now, let us switch gears to talk about Microsoft. Now, obviously, Microsoft has had a really long history as well. I think it's safe to say that the company is best known for the Windows operating system. It's also the company behind the Office suite of productivity software like Word and Excel. Oh, and it has a long history of shenanigans, ranging from misleading business deals, which go all the way back to the earliest days of the company with Bill Gates pulling a fast one on Rivals, to a legal case that very nearly forced Microsoft to break up into smaller companies, but a subsequent judge in the US would overrule that decision later on. Microsoft has been a big part of gaming for a really long time as well. The first edition of Microsoft Flight Simulator launched in 1986, but this title was actually built on an older simulator that originally came out in 1977. Microsoft waded into the video game console wars in 2001 with the launch of the original Xbox console. The Xbox 360 would follow in 2005, and then Xbox One would come out in 2013. In 2014, Microsoft acquired Mojang Studios, the company behind the insanely popular title Minecraft. And in 2020, Microsoft launched the most recent version of the Xbox. The Series X is the flagship. There's also the Series S. In recent years, Microsoft has focused more on video games as its business model has shifted quite a bit. So, in years past, new versions of Windows and updates to the Office suite were the flagship products for the company. That's mainly what they focused their sales on. But the revenue strategy has changed a bit. It focuses more on subscriptions than product sales. And they also have other services that they make money from, like cloud computing. Video games and consoles are one of the product lines that are still going strong in Microsoft, though there are also subscription elements to those as well. And Microsoft faces a couple of heavy hitters in the video game industry, namely Sony and, to a lesser extent, Nintendo. But Sony is the real rival to Microsoft's total domination of the home video game market. In 2021, a scandal erupted at Activision Blizzard. Now, to be clear, the problem that was the focus of the scandal had been in place for a really long time. But in 2021, it's when it all sort of became public dirty laundry. Multiple parties came forward and accused the company of allowing a toxic environment to flourish at Activision Blizzard. There were allegations, like serious allegations of stuff like sexual harassment cases, including at least a couple that were really more bordering on sexual assault cases. And a lot of the stories ended up being the same, where employees were told that they had to settle the matter internally within the company, and that human resources was supposed to be the first and really only resort. Meanwhile, that department was allegedly burying these matters so that they wouldn't go any further. There were other serious allegations as well, claiming the company discriminated against women and that it violated the law in how the company treated pregnant women, and that it was also guilty of retaliating against employees who brought issues up, another thing that is against the law. The accusations also said that Bobby Kotick, the CEO of the company, was fully aware of the situation and that he did nothing about it. Or worse, not that he did nothing, but that he also faced accusations that he specifically withheld information from the board of directors. There were folks calling for Kotick's resignation, a call that Kotick pointedly ignored. Now, at the time, very few people knew what was going on behind the scenes, but this was when Microsoft was in early negotiations considering an acquisition of the company, and it wasn't public knowledge yet. A big move like that requires stability in both companies that are part of a merger. And while a change in leadership might have been appropriate considering the accusations involved over at Activision Blizzard, it would also make the acquisition process more complicated. And apparently, business wins out over matters of toxicity and abuse of employees. So Kotick stayed put, and various employees and U.S. agencies filed lawsuits against Activision Blizzard. The company actually settled one of those lawsuits out of court in September 2021. It agreed to settle a similar lawsuit just this year after Microsoft had already completed the acquisition. There's a dark legacy of sexual discrimination that Activision Blizzard must overcome. And there are different camps that view the acquisition in very different ways with regard to that. There are some who worry that with Microsoft acquiring Activision Blizzard, the new parent company is just going to sweep everything under the rug and walk away and make that just a matter of the past, and no one will ever see any justice from the various indignities and worse that they experienced under Activision Blizzard. The other camp hopes that Microsoft, by taking charge, will actually address these things in a way that is accountable and will end up seeing justice done for the people who were negatively impacted by Activision Blizzard's environment, and that perhaps Microsoft will clean house as part of the process. Some of that has actually come to pass as we have seen some changes in executive leadership in recent days, but we'll get back to that. So on January 18th, 2022, Microsoft announced its intention to acquire Activision Blizzard. The transaction was to be all in cash, nearly $69 billion with a B dollars worth of cash, which is a whole lot of cash. According to the press release that Microsoft was behind, this would put Microsoft in third place among video game companies, at least by revenue. They said that the Chinese company Tencent was in number one, and the Japanese giant Sony was in place number two. And I suspect Microsoft listed Sony this way, acknowledging it as a larger video game company, because it was a strategic move. I'm pretty sure that Microsoft and Activision Blizzard knew that this merger was going to face scrutiny all around the world, and it would mean two very powerful companies in the video game space would consolidate, and that could be viewed as a threat to competition in the overall industry. So they end up pointing out, hey, even if we're together, Sony is still bigger than we are. It was kind of a strategic way of saying, we're not a threat to competition. Look, we still won't be as big as Sony or Tencent. But as it turns out, that scrutiny would exactly follow in the way that Microsoft anticipated, and Sony would play a very large part of it. I'll talk more about this, but first let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right. We're back. I had talked about how Microsoft was trying to kind of pregame by saying, hey, even when we're together, we're going to just be in third place. And they're positioning it in a way where they're like, hey, yay, we're all the way moving up to third place. But it was kind of a sly way of saying there's still two companies that are bigger than us, even given this merger. The situation also explained why Bobby Kotick was adamant with regard to staying in charge at Activision Blizzard. Before, it looked like he was just doubling down as a leader of a company that had a callous attitude toward employees, specifically employees who were also women. But now the complication of this massive business deal put things into a new perspective. People said, aha, this is why Bobby Kotick refuses to step down. It's not that he really thinks he's in the right here, but because there's this massive $69 billion deal going on, and he doesn't want to mess it up by stepping down and having someone else take charge. So it got very cynical, for good reason. It didn't take long for folks to scrutinize the deal and for people to start raising their concerns. In fact, in April 2022, several U.S. senators wrote a letter to the Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, about this proposed merger, and they cited worries about consolidation in the tech industry in general, which does make sense because there is a very small collection of very large companies that dominate the tech space here in the United States. And Microsoft is one of them already, and their move appeared to be in alignment with concentrating even more power within that small group of companies. The senators also referenced the ongoing investigations and litigation surrounding Activision Blizzard. They were among those who were worried that a merger could mean that employees who had been affected by the activities of Activision Blizzard might find themselves without means to have their issues addressed in the wake of a merger. Like, how can they see justice if there's a new boss in charge and they just essentially say, oh, slate's wiped clean? But the real opposition to the deal, I would argue, came from overseas, specifically in the United Kingdom. The Competitions and Markets Authority, or CMA, launched an investigation into the deal out of concern that it would lead to significant decrease in competition in video games. There were worries that Microsoft would reserve Activision Blizzard titles to Microsoft-exclusive platforms, like Xbox consoles and Windows-based PCs, that Microsoft would deny companies like Sony and Nintendo from getting access to really hugely popular video game franchises, and that this would constitute anti-competitive practices. Essentially, they were worried about Microsoft locking all of these popular video game titles to an exclusivity deal with itself. Microsoft repeatedly committed to giving its competitors access to those popular titles. Time and again, a Microsoft representative would refute the concerns, and this got to a point where Microsoft agreed to sign to 10-year commitments that would cement that Microsoft would not lock games like the Call of Duty franchise behind an exclusive arrangement. It turned out that Sony representatives had been raising concerns with regulators about this very thing, that Sony had been arguing Microsoft and Activision Blizzard merging together would cause direct harm to companies like Sony and Nintendo, and ultimately, they argued, consumers. Sony reps also said that Microsoft would squeak around guarantees, right? Oh, sure, they'll release the game, but they'll make sure that the Microsoft version of the game has more features and more content in it, and that the version that gets released to platforms like PlayStation or Nintendo consoles will be stripped down and inferior. Maybe they'll have less content. Maybe it'll be lower fidelity, something along those lines. Maybe it'll have performance issues. By the way, Sony locking stuff behind exclusive content for themselves is something that they have done a lot of. So you could argue they knew a lot about this kind of idea because they themselves had sort of perfected it. But no matter, I think the concern was a legitimate one, even if Sony itself had been guilty of doing the same thing to other platforms. Phil Spencer, the head of the Xbox division over at Microsoft, ultimately made a public statement that said the company would release Call of Duty titles to PlayStation for as long as there's a PlayStation to release titles to. Essentially said, we're never going to get out of the business of creating video games for other platforms. It doesn't make sense, because while we could, you know, dominate the market and be anti-competitive, there's more money to be made by making titles for other platforms. Right? That's what we want to do ultimately, is make more money, not have some sort of, you know, de facto dominance in the market. This was after, you know, more than a year of back and forth in various regulatory arenas. So not only did the two companies face stern opposition in the UK, here in the United States, things were getting thorny as well. The Federal Trade Commission announced it was opposed to the deal. In fact, the FTC sued Microsoft to stop the deal from happening. Again, the concern was that the deal marked a decrease in competition in the market and that it would give Microsoft an unfair advantage over other companies. And again, this is something that Microsoft has a well-earned reputation of doing in the past. So it's not like Microsoft is some innocent babe in the woods. The company has been found guilty of engaging in anti-competitive practices. So in some ways, you could look at this as the FTC saying, you're back up to your old tricks again, Microsoft. By early 2023, the European Union had also jumped into this mess, and regulators in the EU said that they too were concerned about the deal. At this point, things were starting to look pretty uncertain. Microsoft and Activision Blizzard were facing critical scrutiny in the UK, the EU, and the US. That's a lot of initials. The deal was supposed to close in the summer of 2023, but at this point, that seemed like that was going to be wishful thinking. In fact, the deal itself was by far not a guarantee. There were serious doubts coming up. For a few short weeks, things actually started to look up for Microsoft and Activision Blizzard, because the CMA, potentially the harshest critic of all the regulators, arguably the FTC wins out in the end, but the CMA had serious concerns about this deal. But in March of 2023, CMA said, you know what? We're not as concerned about this whole thing as we used to be. They essentially said they were no longer concerned on March 24th, 2023. However, on April 26th, 2023, a month later, the CMA did another 180 and formally moved to block the deal from happening, saying, nope, we're not going to let this go through. So what the heck happened? Where did CMA go from saying, okay, our concerns have been met, to, nope, we can't allow this to happen? Well, according to the CMA, the new issue was a concern that the acquisition would create an unfair market in cloud gaming. Microsoft reps said the issue appeared to stem from a, quote, flawed understanding of the market, end quote, which is throwing some shade at the CMA. They also said something along the lines of, it sure is a shame that the CMA is determined to make the UK lag behind in technological innovation. Like, it was kind of like the mafia making a threat in a way, like the way that you see in mob movies where someone's like, hey, it's a nice shop you got here. Sure would be a shame if someone would, set fire to it. It kind of felt like that sort of threat, like a threat that's worded in a way to potentially raise plausible deniability. But yeah, that's what Microsoft was saying. Plus, they were just saying, y'all are stupid because you don't understand the market. Shortly after the CMA made its change of mind and said, no, we're not going to let this go through, the EU regulators actually dropped their concerns and they approved the deal. So they removed one of the massive obstacles that were in the way of Activision Blizzard and Microsoft. But the UK and the United States were still uncertain. Good news arrived in the US as a judge found that Microsoft's commitments to ensuring that popular titles would remain on competitors' platforms were sufficient enough to allow the deal to proceed. This knocked down the FTC's concerns on the matter. The judge said, well, Microsoft has made a commitment to negate the problems that the FTC has brought up. And as long as Microsoft follows that, then there's no anti-competitive issue here, because the company has committed to making sure that competitors have access to those titles. That was one of the cornerstones of the FTC's argument. So the judge said, FTC, your argument doesn't have merit to it, and essentially dismissed the case. This happened on July 11th. And remember, Microsoft hoped to close the deal in June 2023. So this is after when the original closing date was supposed to have happened. All right, we've got a bit more to cover about this case. But before we can get to that, let's take another quick break to thank our sponsors. Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Okay. During its legal case with the FTC, Microsoft said some stuff that everyone already knew, but that the company had never really admitted. Namely, that Sony had run away with the victory in the console wars, right? In the announcement, Microsoft had mentioned that Sony was a larger company in the video game space than Microsoft was. But then this was slightly different. This was Microsoft saying that the PlayStation consoles consistently outsold Xbox consoles. Again, this wasn't a secret. Like, everyone knew this, but for Microsoft to acknowledge it seemed like it was a pretty big deal. And Microsoft was using it in defense, right? They were saying, how could we be decreasing competition in a market when we're not the dominant player in the market? Sony dominates us. So this isn't bringing down competition. It's actually helping us improve our position in a market that is already extremely competitive and we are losing. So it helps support the story that Microsoft wasn't about to run away with everything, but I bet it stung to say it out loud. The FTC, for its part, would appeal the ruling, saying that, hey, actually, our concerns are well-merited, and we should be allowed to stop this merger. But that appeal is still pending as I record this episode. So that is we'll talk about it again in a second, but it's an unresolved matter. But with the recent win for Microsoft and Activision Blizzard on the books, where a judge had said that Microsoft was fine to pursue this merger in the United States, the companies moved to convince the CMA back in the United Kingdom to reconsider their position of blocking the deal from happening. So they took the concerns that the CMA raised and they proposed a new deal in an attempt to mollify those concerns. So, for example, one of the concessions that Microsoft made was that it would sell the streaming rights to Activision games to Ubisoft Entertainment for non-European markets. This was a specific move to assuage the concerns that the deal would somehow unfairly impact the cloud gaming market. The CMA took this newly revised deal and they took their time reviewing it. And then finally, in October, they dropped their opposition to the merger. The FTC was still urging U.S. courts to review the case that they had appealed, but because there was no active appeal case going on, technically it meant there were no real legal obstacles in the way of Microsoft and Activision Blizzard, and so they finalized the merger. That happened on October 13th, 2023. It took nearly a year and 9 months from when Microsoft announced its plans to acquire Activision Blizzard to when the deal was actually finalized. Meanwhile, the FTC is still appealing that earlier court decision that ruled in favor of Microsoft. The FTC says it wants to unwind the merger. Now, I don't think that's likely to happen, but I do think it may see Microsoft have to pay some sort of settlement out of court in the process. As I record this, the matter is still pending in U.S. courts. Microsoft most recently successfully requested an extension to file a response to a motion to compel. So that is a motion that the FTC brought against Microsoft to compel Microsoft to share documentation relating to the case. The court has granted Microsoft's request and has extended the time limit to compel to that motion to January 2nd, 2024. So while the acquisition has already happened back in October, the matter itself technically remains unresolved until next year. And that brings us up to speed on the whole matter. I suspect the merger will remain in place. The process of unwinding the deal seems so complicated that it's very hard to imagine a court commanding it to happen. Technically, I guess it could, but it seems unlikely. However, if the FTC's appeal actually works, this would send a massive message to businesses at large, and the tech industry in particular, that there is a new focus on competition and antitrust situations. Then again, we also have to acknowledge that here in the United States, it's an election year in 2024. And if there's another change in administration, we're likely to see those changes trickle down into regulatory agencies as well, and things that are of huge concern right now may be dismissed later on. And by that, I mean companies that are looked at as being anti-competitive may end up getting a pass, depending on how elections go. Same as it ever was. It's one of the big reasons why regulatory change in the United States happens rarely, and it is increasingly difficult to happen in a political world, where there's very little bipartisan support for anything anymore. There's so much tribalism in the various political camps that you typically just see people opposing one another. In my view, it's because if one party says yes, the other party has to say no. Doesn't matter if they actually agree on the thing at the end of the day. It's just like by law, if you're in favor of it, I have to be opposed to it. That's what it seems like. Maybe I'm being far too cynical. But that's a look back on how the Microsoft Activision Blizzard acquisition deal actually finally coalesced in 2023 with the acknowledgement that the FTC is trying to undo the whole thing. And who knows where that's going to go. Again, I'll be surprised if it changes. Oh, and one other update. Yeah. Bobby Kotick, the CEO of Activision Blizzard, has stepped down, finally, now that the deal is done. And so that thing that people have been asking for since 2021 has finally come to pass. There's also been some changes in executive leadership over at Microsoft's Xbox division, and it looks like there's going to be some shuffling that will go on as Microsoft determines whose role fills what position within the newly merged company. So I'm sure that the changes are just at the very beginning. We'll have to see what happens in 2024. That's it. I hope you are all well, and I am going to wish you a happy new year, and I'll be back with predictions with what I think might happen in 2024. We know how well those go. It's been a few years since I've done one of those. And until then, I'll talk to you again really soon. Tech Stuff is an iHeartRadio production. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.